You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
So many, many years ago, when electronic music was just starting up, really, in Auckland, there were some folks who were responsible for the birth and creation of some really, really great music, and they were, I guess, at the forefront, one would say, of what has become a huge part of the New Zealand music scene nowadays. One of those people was Denver McCarthy, who used to go under the name Mechanism, and then Micronism. And I spoke to Denver yesterday, 20 years after he released his album Inside a Quiet Mind, which is being reissued on double LP and digitally tomorrow. And he hasn't made any music since. In fact, he's gone to live the Hare Krishna lifestyle in Brisbane since. So it's quite cool that his album's been re-released. It must be quite important. So let's fill people in on Micronism, which is Denver McCarthy, many years ago, and you released Inside a Quiet Mind through Cog Transmissions, and it was, I mean, this is a long time ago in life, and but at a very, very important and very important moment, I guess, in time for electronic music in New Zealand. Can you paint us a picture, Denver, about where how it all played out in those days, making electronic music and the idea of getting it out to the public?
Right.
What was the technique?
There was such a community around electronic music, I remember. There's groups of friends, and there was this real excitement about this. Music would only be on vinyl or CD. You know, you couldn't get it on the internet at that time. So you had to wait at the record stores for shipments to come in of records. And I remember when those shipments
Imported records.
Exactly. Yes. Special order. And expensive and
and risky. A little bit risky as well, too, wasn't it? Because you never were sure exactly if it was going to be as good as you hoped it would be.
Yeah. And looking for reviews of stuff and ordering the hot stuff that was getting played overseas at the time, and seeing what people were playing, and there was just a real excitement when record orders would come in, and there was this small community of tea around electronic music, and it was quite tight knit, and you know, most people knew everyone, and it was a really nice community to be a part of. You know, human beings, we need community. You know, it's such an essential part of life. So that was really great to be a part of that.
There's so much of what we perceive the creation of electronic music as, you know, made in somebody's bedroom. But it's the best part of it is not lonely people in their bedrooms. The best part of it is lonely people in their bedrooms getting together, or other lonely people in their bedrooms getting together. More, you know, you know what I mean? And not playing each other's music, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You're right. There definitely was, at that time, a bunch of people who were getting a certain sound that was coming from overseas, or influences that were coming from overseas, who were prepared to give it a go over here. And it wasn't really and Cog, I guess, was at the center of the whole thing, being a catalyst for artists or producers to do their thing, you know, and get it out there.
Yeah, they were totally needed, because although there were a lot of, like you say, bedroom producers, there was no one to actually release the stuff. So they played such an important role. They released their own music, but also, you know, they took on this challenge of making a label and getting other people's releases out there. So they were so generous, those guys, so generous with their time.
Good dudes, eh?
Yeah.
It's what's really interesting about you as a producer of music is that you made this album, and so firstly you made an album, which back in those times was a big call for a relatively unknown New Zealander to make a techno album, or however you want to describe it, you know, an electronic album. And you've made nothing since, musically. And does a concept that here we are 20 years after the fact that not only is it being hailed as a techno masterpiece, as one of the quotes. To be fair,
yeah,
to be
think,
fair
think,
to,
think.
To be fair,
they're getting blown out of proportion.
Well, no. To be fair, I was reading a detractor who's called it noxious hardcore techno, which means they probably never listened to it. And here we are, here 20 years after the fact. Not only is it notable, it's been re-released, man. this is a really cool thing, and it's a great reflection on your talent at the time, and interesting. To talk about where your life went to after that.
You listen to Inside Quiet Mind, the ideas and even the sound, there's some really deep kind of music on it.
Well, for a start, it's called Inside a Quiet Mind, which was not really the title that one would give a techno album back in the day.
Techno album. Yeah. right. Yeah, it was, I was going through something, I guess, finding my first sort of initial steps of spirituality at that time, I guess, and I think it's sort of reflected in the music. You know, you sit down at the keyboard and you just start playing around until, you know, something catches your ear, like a rhythm or a sound or a mood, and then you just go with it, you know, and then you add stuff to it and stuff that you think fits, and then after a few hours you kind of think, okay, it sounds finished. Inside a Quiet Mind is made up of tracks with a certain, you know, particular sound. It's sort of chill out and mellow and emotional and deep. And these were just tracks that came out of, you record this piece of music and then afterwards you discover there's all these emotions in it that you'd never planned to put there. They just sort of came out. And you kind of wonder, oh, you know, where is that coming from? And you record and you listen back and you think, Did I really have much to do with writing it? It just sort of wrote itself. You're just sort of tinkering away and then all of a sudden it's finished, you know what I mean?
Yeah, not long after the album was released and you sort of, you got to go, well, I finished it, it's out. You made a decision to go and explore the life of the Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
So you're still you?
Correct, yeah. It's an underlying practice for me. The Krishna's taught me to live a more conservative material life so that I'd have time and space and energy to talk, discuss, think about and practice this kind of spiritual wisdom, you know, from the East.
Was there a point where there must have been a moment there where you went, okay, so I'm going to leave all that other stuff, the Detroit techno record, the record buying and the worrying about that and the there must have been a point where you thought, okay, I'm going to leave that all behind. That must have been quite a bizarre moment.
Yeah, it's interesting. It all fell away kind of naturally. It's like the taste for it just fell away in a real sort of natural kind of. I remember actually distinctly when I decided to give away all my records, because the only record I wanted to listen to was the Hare Krishna one that I had. And I remember giving some records to a close friend, and he was kind of like, I was trying to...
You've gone mad! You've gone mad!
Yeah. I'm sure there was a lot of that. I'm sure there was a lot of that. People were thinking probably, you know, my close friends were thinking, gee, what's this guy? He's joined some evil cult and lost his mind or something. But it's not like I'm sacrificing it. It's just my taste for it, my drive for it has just fallen away naturally. So, it wasn't like I had to extract myself from this scene, the whole techno scene that I was in, you know, with some effort. It was just falling away. And spirituality was just becoming more and more interesting to me.
Is there room for electronic dance music in the Hare Krishna lifestyle?
Yes, of course. Obviously, you're familiar with the chanting. You've probably seen them on the streets chanting, and obviously the musical instrumentation is generally more traditional. But you know, there's no rule or regulation against what kind of instrumentation you can use. And
I guess sitting up till 4 o'clock in the morning just going in your bedroom isn't necessarily the sort of the agreed upon manner. Is that?
Yeah, I mean, yeah. The Krishnas would probably start the party at 4 a.m. rather than end it. But yeah, I mean, What I'm really hoping is that someone will get me to do some shows in New Zealand and pay for my ticket so I can get back there and reconnect with all of my friends from that era.
Well, it would be amazing if you could come back and let's start up some sort of crowdfunding thing. That's what we need to do. But congratulations on the anniversary of the album and congratulations on it's so nice to talk to you again, Denver. It really is.
Yeah, thank you so much.
I hope that the rest of life is wonderful as it sounds like it has been up till now. And congratulations, you know what I mean? Seriously, and congratulations on you know, being part of New Zealand musical history. Lovely to talk to you, brother, and all the very best. And maybe we'll see you soon.
Hope so. All the best.
He's a good dude, isn't he? That's Devin McCarthy, otherwise known as Mechanism or Micronism, when he released that album Inside a Quiet Mind. It is reissued on double LP and digitally to Mozza. To Mozza being Frozza.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.